Time being 6:00, I call the February 11th, 2026 meeting to order. Take a moment of silence. Please stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Note to residents. All citizens are welcome to attend the public meeting in person. To view the live meeting remotely, citizens are encouraged to watch the live stream on the Franklin Town Hall TV YouTube channel or the live broadcast on Comcast Channel 9 and Verizon Channel 29. To listen to the meeting remotely, citizens may call in using the number 1-929-205-6099. To participate in the meeting remotely, citizens may join the Zoom webinar using the information below provided below. Meetings are recorded and archived by Franklin TV on the Franklin Town Hall TV YouTube channel and shown repeatedly on Comcast Channel 9 and Verizon Channel 29. The Zoom webinar ID number is 849-1778-3849. Any participants who wish to speak during the webinar must enter their full name and email address when joining the webinar. All participants will be automatically muted upon joining the webinar. In order to speak, participants will need to select the raise hand function to request to be unmuted. All speakers will be required to state their full name and street address before commenting. Announcements from the chair. This meeting is being recorded by Franklin TV and shown on Comcast Channel 9 and Verizon Channel 29. This meeting may be recorded by others. Nobody, no councils participating remotely. Upcoming events. The town council office hours will be held on next Thursday, February 19th at 8:30 a.m. at the Franklin Senior Center. Citizens' comments. Citizens are welcome to express their views for up to 3 minutes on a matter that is not on the agenda in compliance with Chapter 38, Section 20, the open meeting law. The council cannot engage in a dialogue or comment on a matter raised during citizens' comments. The council may ask the town administrator to review the matter. Nothing herein shall prevent the town administrator from correcting a misstatement of fact. Is there anybody in the audience? Dave?
Dave Callahan, 30 Plain Street. Just come and give an update about what happened in last night's school committee meeting. And so we had the FY 27 budget open hearing. I know it's kind of part of your doc, so I won't belabor the moment, but ultimately the budget was presented out. It's a 2.5% increase from last year, a very sustainable level service budget. It's right on our website if you haven't had an opportunity to check it out. And I have to give just some amazing accolades to our school business administrator, Ms. Malotti. This, it's a line-by-line budget that really kind of outlines exactly how every single dollar is spent. And what she ended up doing was going the extra mile. And anytime there was a change, plus or minus 10% from last year, there's a whole column that fully explains, real words, what exactly, why did that change happen, where were the savings found? It's fantastic. So we can kind of talk about like transparency. There's nothing more transparent than our three-plus-hour meeting as we go through every single dollar. It's all right there. It's right on YouTube. And I also just want to give a shout-out. Last night during that meeting, we had almost the entire council watching just on Zoom alone. And I know everybody watches on different ways, but it was the most amount of kind of counselors that I saw just on our Zoom meetings in the 5 years I've been on school committee. You know, and I know to kind of steal Steve Sherlock mentioned the new logo, but the first of many. I'm sure it's going to be the first of many of those opportunities. Franklin itself, we have a lot of financial challenges and struggles, you know, that we've encountered. And as we kind of move ahead financially, as you kind of see in the documents here, you look at the five-year forecast. But it's by all of us kind of working together, collaboratively, kind of move those chains, is how we're going to find that progress. Because it's not, we're not all here working for the betterment of one department over another. We're all working together for the betterment of just this entire amazing community. And it was so amazing and refreshing to see everybody here engaging. Councilor Jane Calloway Tripp asked some wonderful, insightful questions. And it just, as we start on this new budget season, it was on such a hopeful note. And I look forward to more questions and more meetings as we kind of move forward. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Dave. Unfortunately, I couldn't watch it. I was keeping an airport open. But I'm sure it was a great meeting. Is there anybody else? Steve?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Steve Sherlock, 13 Magnolia Drive. Community Information Director for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio. Since I'm doing more video, I should say Franklin TV as well. Good evening. Thank you all. Two quick public service announcements. First one, somebody may recognize, certainly the name's going to be more recognizable, but Allie Rayum has published a children's book. It'll be available on February 20th. As you may or may not be aware, she's had a brain injury, and Buddy the Brain enables that conversation with the youth in terms of what does a brain injury mean, how do you deal with it, etc. Wonderful read, available March 20th. She'll be doing some additional communication so everybody will know where to go and get it. Second one, did you know the number two killer from Massachusetts is high blood pressure? I did not. Did you know that the library has a blood pressure stand? Yes. Actually a desk. You can go, sit down, spend a couple minutes, put it on, take the test, and find out if you're in that key range or not, because you do need to do so. So I did speak with Alicia Sullivan, the nurse, and as Dave alluded to, which is a good setup, not a stealing, this is the first of many, and yes, kudos to the town, because it's truly there, first of many. A collaboration between the health department, the library, American Heart Association. This is the first library that has that blood pressure kit, not only for a test in the library, you can take a kit out along with the book or the CD that you're going to use, etc. So it's available both ways. Additional details, I'm sure Felicia and others in the library can explain.
Awesome.
And given the results last night, as Dave's already mentioned, in terms of the participation, clearly we've got a struggle with our structural deficit. We've got financial analysis. You're going to get more details tonight in terms of this long-term plan. The fact that there's a number of interested folks in regards to actually doing a strategy as to how that plan is going to be developed, I have hope that we may be the first of many communities to address that significant structural deficit that's facing everybody across the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Lewis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just want to give you the update. Last night, we were out clearing the roads. That was our 20th event. We recorded 44 inches so far this year. We are now over our operating budget. We're about 1.51, so about $110,000 over. Still gotta do a couple soil analysis, but I just want to give you a heads up on that. But the weather's looking really good. 10 days, like four.
10 days.
It's really looking good. So the boys have been working really hard. I think, you know, it's been a lot of hours, and I made a joke to Jamie, it's Saturday, so it's snowing, because they've come in almost every weekend. So, but thank you.
I know that.
I know.
Anybody else in council chambers? How about anybody in Zoom land?
No.
Nothing? Okay. Moving on. Councilor comments. Councilor what?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of quick thoughts. First, Steve Sherlock, is there a correlation between the budget work we're going to do and blood pressure?
The better you do, the better we're going to be.
Can we get those kits here?
Good point, Steve.
Just a quick comment about the new format. This is that we voted last time to kind of change things up a little bit, so this may feel a little bit different to people. One of the objectives of that was to try to put council's comments closer to citizens' comments, so to the degree we could collaborate, discuss. We don't have a referee here tonight, but, you know, to the degree we want to try to facilitate some better communication, that's the intent. But I did want to take a second to remind everybody here and at home that you can use email. There's a feature on the town website where you can email the council with questions, comments, etc. We can't all respond to every email for open meeting laws, but I think that might be a good way to, you don't have to wait 2 weeks or 3 weeks for a meeting to make your voice heard. You can communicate anytime. I think many of us are trying to be as responsive as possible to even one-off respond to those things. Maybe even direct your concern or your comment to the appropriate town people who can maybe help. So just keep that in mind as another way to communicate. And I was just gonna add another thank you to the DPW folks for all the hard work that you're doing all season. I know it's been tough and you've been doing a great job, so thank you. That's it.
Thank you. Hey, Councilman, Councilor Jupiter.
Just a couple things quickly. What's that song, A Long December? Yeah, wanted to say thank you again to DPW for all the work that they've done over this very wintry season. The fact that we're already over budget is, you know, does cause some concern, but it's the reality of just, you know, where we are today. I think we're all here because we know that the town has some financial challenges that we need to address. What I appreciate about the folks on this side of the table is that we're all on the same page with we need to understand both how to fix it today and put together a plan for how to position ourselves for success in the future. To that end, I also wanted to just say thank you to school finance folks. The documents that they've shared, which are available online, I believe, I think are helpful and more educational and beneficial than I think some of what I have seen historically. We have some tough decisions that will need to be made, but but I'm glad that we're getting closer to having the right information to help inform those decisions. And just to piggyback a little bit on what Councilor Malloy mentioned, to the extent that, you know, folks are seeing things, have additional questions or thoughts that they want to make sure to address, please feel free to reach out. Email's really a fantastic way to at least make sure you're getting heard, and we can see how we can incorporate it as we think about our budget and our financial situation as we look forward.
Thank you, Councilor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple things. One, I wanted to mention that the Franklin Food Pantry finished their Super Bowl drive this weekend, and they brought in more than 6,000 cans of soup. So I wanted to recognize and commend the generosity of the Franklin community for participating in that and for making sure that our neighbors and community members are fed, especially now when it's cold and things are tight. I also wanted to mention, and the benefit of us speaking at the beginning is that we can respond to things, but the drawback is that Dave Callahan stole my comments and now I'm going to repeat them right after he gave them. But I just wanted to mention that the school committee budget hearing yesterday, I was glad to hear that so many counselors were able to attend. I wanted to commend Superintendent Jaguer, John Amalati, and their staff for just the incredible work that they've done. I wanted to mention, as Dave Callahan already said, that they maintained a 2.5 increase. They were incredibly intentional and thoughtful in the way that they planned their budget. They made changes, but it's still level service. And they didn't try to restore anything that had been cut when they, when the cuts had to happen due to budget cuts. And I think that's something that we as a council should keep in mind as we are looking at the municipal side of the budget as well. I also wanted to mention that Councillor Calaway Tripp had some great questions, including one about the revolving funds for the school. And that was reiterated that the school revolving funds cannot be utilized for any purpose other than what they are collected for. And I know that has come up several times in council chambers, so I just wanted to make sure that was clear. And I think that's all I have.
Thank you. Councillor LeBlanc.
I'm still wrapping my head around having to do comments this time, so I'm going to pass this week.
Okay. All right. We'll hit you up double next time.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank all of the department heads for being here for the capital budget and for the operating budget today. I know it takes a lot of time out of your busy schedules to and time for family to be here, so I appreciate that. I also wanted to thank the Finance Committee for their work putting together, or working on reviewing some of this and being the first pass, the first line of defense for the budget. I think with that, I'll pass it over.
I don't really have too many comments except that I do want to thank the school the schools for their new budget, because now I don't have to slam my head in the wall when I'm trying to figure out what's going on. So that was a very big plus for me when I saw that, because I can understand what I'm looking at and my eyes don't have to be gouged out of my head now. So thank you for that. And that's pretty much it. Not too much going on.
I'm so glad that you don't have to gouge your eyes out.
Me too.
Makes me, I'll speak better tonight. So I'm really excited to see councillor comments piggybacking on after citizen comments. It doesn't seem like a big change maybe to people, but for in other meetings where hours and hours have gone between what somebody brings up and when we can actually respond to it, hasn't been the best, right, people? So at least now we can respond relatively quickly when things are brought up, and look to Jamie to get people the answers if need be. And it'll also make it better for viewing on YouTube and other things, because it'll be relatively immediate. I want to piggyback on thanking all the department heads for being here tonight for yet another meeting. We're starting budget relatively early, so thank you to the school department certainly for getting everything tied up nicely this early. I'll throw the little sort of referee thing out that the discussions ahead tonight are going to be difficult, and it's not, the intention is not to divide us. The intention is to try to figure these things out as a group. It's not a popularity contest. We've gotten some emails already about, you know, can you walk a day in the life of a school teacher in Franklin? And my response back is no, but I can certainly walk the walk as a parent of kids in schools. But we also have to walk in the shoes of our fire personnel and of our police personnel and of our Veterans Affairs people and our senior center folks and our librarians and everybody that shows up to work every day. So we're going to deliberate, because that's what you've elected us to do, and we're going to look at these capital requests and we're going to start these budget conversations. And if a decision or something is brought up, it does not mean that that person is anti that department. So we have to stop that rhetoric that has been going on for years in the community, that somebody is like anti-schools because they have a question about schools. That's not the case. And I just know from looking at this that there's going to be a lot brought up tonight, and we're going to do our very, very best to meet everybody's needs. So with that, thank you again, and I'll yield.
Sure, I'll be quick. Just a few things. First of all, Steve, thanks for bringing up the blood pressure. I think that's an important point to make. As someone who has high blood pressure, you know, it needs to be constantly under control. And I think a lot of times, especially men, we don't like to go to the doctor, don't like to get things checked out. And I've seen so many people, friends, people my age, who've suffered strokes or heart attacks. So it's really important to make sure that you get your blood pressure under control. So thank you for saying that. Dave, your comments about the budget. First of all, the work that the school committee did last night was you know, terrific. So great work. You know, we definitely want to work with the school committee, understand, you know, the challenges, and move forward as a united team for the town of Franklin. So so just want to echo the other people's comments on that. And then finally, Brutus, great job on the DPW, but I think you did come here in the beginning and say that we were seeing less snow every year. That jinxed us a little bit. But because I was thinking, because I was like, oh gosh, don't say that. Anyway, yeah, it's been tough year, but the guys have done a great job, and thank you. Thanks to the DPW team for that. That's it for me.
Thank you. I also thank you, Steve, about bringing up high blood pressure, but those machines sometimes I don't think read good. So, Chuck, you might have to bring an EMT in, I think, pretty soon to do it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
But I do like council comments here, right after citizens' comments, because as you know, with the long meetings that we've had, sometimes you get citizens' comments and you're saying to yourself, listen, maybe I'll do it next time. It's a shorter meeting. So this time it works. I think it will come out great. I just want to thank all the department heads and the school committee and everything for working so hard over the years. Jamie, your office, everything, getting everything done, you know. You know, Nancy, everybody, all the department heads, I know it's a long time. You know, a lot of hours that you put in that you probably weren't getting paid for either. So I do appreciate that. Fire, police, everybody. I do want to give a shout out to one of the officers, Samuels. He's coaching the JV basketball team. I love seeing that because I know our sons, my son and Gene's son, went to school together, and a lot of the police officers back then were all coaching, and it really brought the kids together. They're still friends with them now. You know what I mean? They're still talking to him, so it was awesome to see that. So kudos to him. So with that, I'll leave. I am tired, so subcommittee committees we don't have. Town administrator report.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chairman. So a couple quick announcements. There'll be a press release going out today and tomorrow, and some data. It's a slight bit of bad news, obviously with all the weather and the cold snap we've had. Unfortunately, our aggregation program, which has a 14 cent per kilowatt rate, now has to be adjusted to a 15 cent kilowatt rate. In the absence of going into a massive hour-long breakdown of geopolitical energy markets, which I will not do, I think we all know that the East Coast and the eastern half of the United States has seen an enormous cold snap over the last 3 months. And it's put a major, major stress on the system. And I think to what Bruta said, and I think Councilor Grella, we haven't really seen this in a while. So that will be an effect on the March readings. You know, hopefully we'll jinx it the right way and the next couple weeks will be good. And hopefully at some point later this year, we can try to reverse that rate and go backward. But this is not just unique to here. It's kind of like the budget issue Steve talked about. It's going on through all the aggregation programs for the entire system, and you're going to see and probably hear more of this in the news on the entire eastern coast just because of the cold snap that's there. We're going to send the press release out. We do have a website that is off the town administrator's page with all municipal aggregation information over the last 6 years. But before the news gets lost, there's a couple other points I want to point out on that. The rate that's there is 15 cents per kilowatt. That's still slightly lower than what your average national grid basic rate would be right now. So people are still going to be saving money as long as they don't increase their usage. I always have to say that, right? Because if you increase your usage, it doesn't matter what the rate is. You're going to be paying more money regardless. And many of the former councilors, particularly Councilor Frangillo and many others, did speak highly of this program. We entered into this actually before the pandemic. But as fate would have it, the rates went into effect during the lockdown of the pandemic. This is now our seventh calendar year. And if you aggregate up all of the savings under the aggregation program versus what would have been paid through National Grid Basic Service, residents have saved over those 6.5 years, $16.4 million in electricity costs. So I understand somebody may say, oh my God, a penny more, you know, it's obviously gonna cost me more, affordability is troublesome. But I wanna also make sure the message is out there clear. You know, when the lockdown was happening and when there was inflation and global supply chain problems, this aggregation program protected every residential homeowner in this town and the small business community from seeing 25% rates, 25 cent rates at some points, there was 22 cent rates. So in the aggregate, the town by far has been in the savings model on this. So even though that this is a cent adjustment for an extreme circumstance, I hope all of you and all the staff and the people watching at home still realize we really dodged the bigger bullets over the last 5 years when inflation hit in 2022. Residents here were paying 10.5 cents per kilowatt.
Yes.
National Grid Basic was like 28 cents per kilowatt. So people saved a lot of money over those years. But I also recognize that most people didn't know those savings because they didn't see the 25 cent rate. They didn't see the extreme spikes and everything stayed really stable for very long. You could still at 15 cent per kilowatt do a lot of comparables, and it's not apples to apples, by the way. Electricity and energy markets are an extraordinarily complicated thing to dive into, but I did want to announce that. And the second thing is, by the next meeting on March 4th, Julie and I will have one additional colleague in our office, so we're excited, we're hopeful too. If the references turn out, so at the next meeting, hopefully we'll introduce the new communications director. And hopefully I'll have an announcement on the part-time admin. So other than that, that's the town administrator's report.
Jamie, I got one question. I know it went up a cent because of the weather. Will it go down?
I
doubt it would, but I know probably people are saying, well, if it went up because of the cold, is it gonna come down when it's warm? And I know the answer before I said it, but.
I gotta walk a pretty fine tightrope on this, you know. My hope is that is the case. And
yeah.
In aggregation, you have a little more flexibility. These are not decisions that are being made by me. These are decisions made by the ISO New England and a much larger, overly bureaucratic energy system. So I can't say it can come down, but you are gonna see a different rate in the summer anyways,
right,
because energy use is usually less unless there's heat waves.
Yeah.
So to be determined. Let's just at least knock on wood that we can have 45 degrees for the next couple months, and then we'll take it up when the spring's over. But
I know saying, is it going to go down?
I know tomorrow it's going to be,
yeah.
I mean, a million questions, but
yeah.
I can't answer that formally because I can't guarantee that that's going to happen. I would love it to go way down even further than it is, but still, the germane point, I think, is assuring people that during the extremely massive spikes in electricity costs over the last 6 years, this program protected everybody.
No, it did. We
protected people in a very significant manner. So, so hopefully most people will take that nugget as opposed to, you know, will it come down in a few.
No, I know. I mean, like you said, nobody saw it because if you didn't do anything,
right,
you automatically went into that group.
Yeah, you locked out.
You were locked out.
Yeah. So. Or you had to choose the green product.
Right.
If you wanted to pay a higher percentage for the renewable energy. Yep.
All right, no proclamations or recognitions. So I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of January 21st, 2026.
So moved.
Second.
All right, I have a motion. Second. Any discussion, deletions, anything?
I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
I was just reading the minutes, and like for the minutes in that meeting, that was when we did the appointments and everything was like perfectly there. When we went down further and we were doing some of the presentations, not all questions that were asked were put in there. It basically just made a line that said questions being asked and then listed answers. So I'm just curious why the questions aren't actually being listed.
No clue. You have to ask Judith. Our scrap.
At the light, turn left on the State Highway 144.
I'd have to, I don't know. I mean, I think, I can guarantee you after, and once we get to AI transcripts someday, I'm sure that'll be the norm.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know exactly why one thing versus another. I mean, I think you would agree these minutes are generally done at a level you'll never see anywhere else. She does the best minutes I've ever seen in my life by far. I don't know why a question here or a question there. I don't know. I'd have to ask Judith what the logic is when she's typing them out.
Okay, because I just noticed it's just starting to do it that way, and I just wanted to find out, because typically when you ask a question, it's to be having it on the record.
Sure.
If the question is not being showcased, it's theoretically not on the record. So I just think that we need to be careful with that.
I think at some point, we've just got to go to AI transcripts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can't do that now because that's not, it's, we still have to keep minutes by state law. It, to me, this is something they should be getting rid of. Everything's on video too. And I know there's a difference. Some people don't want to watch video versus read. But I think the only way to do this right is to just have the verbatim transcript done. Hopefully at some point, I'm hopeful at some point Zoom will have the technology that it will just do this. Right, everything we say in a meeting will just be recorded on a transcript, and there won't have to be any quality control. We've tried the AI technology, and the quality control is terrible. They get names totally wrong. I mean, it's not very well done. So the technology's not quite there yet. But I think at some point, I'm guessing, you know, hopefully in the next few years, we won't have to pay for minutes. We won't have to have it in the budget, and every meeting will just be transcribed and.
Thank you.
Sure. Good. Yeah, no, I just want to point out this whole process that we have here is to review the minutes. So if there's something that is missing, you know, you have the ability to make an amendment to put it back in. That's why we do this. So if there's something that's missing or inaccurate, you know, you can make one of us can make a motion before it's approved to.
That's true.
To correct it. That's why that's our job to do.
This is Jane. Do you want the minutes tabled to the next meeting so we can find out the questions that were omitted, or are you okay with it as is?
Let's table it because I think the questions should be put in there.
Okay. I would be in favor of that.
Yeah.
Under the circumstances.
So
I would
entertain a motion to table the minutes.
Second.
Can I just say to March 4th?
You have to have a date,
sir.
Oh, yeah, okay. To the March 4th.
To the March 4th.
Stepping in for Mr. Sorrell, was under the weather.
All right. You got to step in for them. All right. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
The motion is tabled, right?
Yeah. Motion is tabled to March 4th.
Appointments, we have none. Public hearings, none. License transaction, I believe we have one, right?
Yep.
All
Mr. Chairman, for everybody's, I think for most of you, your first vote on a liquor license, and it's okay. This is really the easiest of the easy. State law requires under liquor licensing that you have to go through, there are dozens upon dozens of varying applications on liquor licenses. And one of them is when there's a change in the officers, the manager, the directors, stock options in the company, for some unrealistic reason, all of you have to approve that application to send it back to the ABCC. And basically the reason is they want to check local compliance with building code, local compliance with health code, and local compliance with paying taxes. So that's really the only reason. So all the departments have signed off on this application. Just for by way of background, we have an online permitting system that the applicant goes into and fills it out, and Julie manages all of that, does a fantastic job. And we have contacts in all of those departments who go back in. They know their responsibilities at health, treasurer, building, fire. They all go in and they check off the box when they're compliant. And then on the resolution, all departments have signed off on the application. And so this is a very generally non-controversial issue. I think Mr. Nick Zazula, who I think, Nick, you're a regular here. Are you at McQuilty?
I am, yes, yep. Sir.
So if you have any, you want to do a quick introduction, but I don't think there's anything else to add, right?
No, that's correct. This is strictly, first of all, good evening, everybody. I'm out here in Zoom land. I apologize for not being with you in person, but I represent Shaw's Star Markets for all of their liquor licenses here in Massachusetts. As was just stated, this is, you know, an administrative change on the corporate level. So we need to file this amendment to make sure that the liquor license for your town and for the state is consistent with the officers and directors who are listed with the state for the corporation. So this application is just to update the records for the corporate entity. There are zero operational changes for the store itself, no changes to the hours, layout, manager of record, any of that. So it's really just an administrative change that, again, as was stated, it just has to go through the town first before it goes to the state. So happy to answer any questions if anybody has one on the council, and thank you very much.
Okay, well, let's have the clerk read it first, and then we'll go to discussion.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This license transaction is modification of the Section 15 Retail Package Store Wine and Malt Beverage License, change of officers and directors. Shaw Supermarkets, Inc., doing business as Shaw's, located at 255 East Central Street in Franklin, is seeking the approval of modifications of their Section 15 Retail Package Store Wine and Malt Beverage License to include the removal of Robert Bacchus as President and Director, the addition of Robert Larson as President and Director, the removal of Bradley Beckstrom as Group Vice President and Secretary, and the addition of Marilyn Beardsley as Secretary. All departments have signed off on the application. The motion is to approve the request by Shaw's Supermarkets, Inc., doing business as Shaw's, located at 255 East Central Street in Franklin, for changes of officers and directors as described above.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, so I have a motion and a second. Now discussion, Jane?
I have three questions. Where this is like a license for corporate, for like a broad of the stores, is it typical for them to have multiple licenses with the same names on them? Like, that's okay?
Yeah, I think, I mean, Nick could speak to this too, but under state law, grocery stores, for example, have a quota of amount of licenses they can have statewide.
Yeah.
It's changed over the years. It was originally three, and then the legislature upped it to five. I think it might be up to six or seven now. So it's not uncommon for chain stores, especially like this, grocery stores in particular, to have multiple licenses.
Okay, second question is, I noticed on the thing that back in 2006, it was in a Boston location, they had a sale to under a minor. So how does that take effect with their licenses if they have a sale to for a minor?
So there's a bylaw in our town code that when there's a violation, it's ironed out, and specifically when there's a violation like that, there's a penalty that the council then enforces on them. The stock options and the change in officers have nothing to do with the actual violation or whatever happened in 2006, but obviously the paperwork they're required to, you know, to disclose it. But in our town code, there's a strike one, strike two, strike three set of bylaws in there, and the council has to follow the bylaw that's in the town code. So actually on violations, it's a local ordinance, not a state.
So would it be only if the violation happened in Franklin?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, if it happened in another city or town, the violation would take place there, correct.
Okay, and then my last question is, in the thing, Exhibit A, it says $15 for off-premise. What does that mean?
Did you say $15?
It's a little squiggly thing.
Yeah, a little squiggly.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't wearing my glasses.
So the squiggly is actually a legal reference. So what section 15 is referring to are off-premises licenses, which means you purchase the beverages at the supermarket or the package store, and then you take them home.
Take it off.
There's a section 12, which is on-premises. Those are your restaurants. So it's just a reference
to the statute. So that's common for any like liquor store, grocery store that sells out?
Statewide.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
It's actually, it's just an MGL reference, Mass General Law.
Thank you, officer.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was looking at the query request form. This is two minor things. I don't know how minor they are. But first is they're required to produce a form of identification to the notary public to prove they are who they are. And that's left blank on both of the forms. The other one is the notary public, Danielle Albino. The notary public for the state of Ohio, but she works for Albertsons. Is that a conflict of interest for notary public to sign papers for their own client?
Threw me a curveball, Max. Nick's going to have to answer that one.
No, the only.
I feel typically that's a great question. I can jump in. Typically, usually, if a notary does not sign, tell you why what the identification was, usually my understanding is it's personal knowledge, which is appropriate for a notary, meaning if you know the person to be who they say they are. As a notary, I would put in personal knowledge, but my understanding is that the ABCC, which the State Commission would accept this as being blank because it is personal knowledge. I don't think there's a conflict of interest for a corporate form such as the Cory. If there wasn't an issue, the state ABCC on their review, if approved by the council, would raise it to us at that point in time. I do know that this Ms. Albano has notarized a lot of their corporate forms in the past without any issues. So I would say precedent states there wouldn't be an issue, but it's a great question. It's never been raised to me before. And if it is, the state would ask us to address it. So I don't know if that helps answer your question. I think in both instances, these Cory forms would be acceptable to the state, but I think it's a good catch overall.
I hate to put you on the spot, but I asked the notary public, Danilo, in the audience to see if she has a comment on that.
Max, I'm a notary too.
Oh, you're a notary? Okay.
The only violation, the only person you cannot notarize
family.
Is yourself.
Okay. And family, immediate family,
you know, brothers, sisters, and stuff like that.
It's common for companies to have notaries.
Yeah, they can do it.
Yeah. A lot of attorney's offices have notaries that notarize for their attorney's office. I notarize all day long here. Obviously, you know, even.
I'm a notary.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think the first floor has got several. So, I think the only restriction is immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
That's as far as I know. That's why I have Nancy.
That's why we all have brothers and Nancy. Keep in mind,
is there any other questions? If there are no other questions, I'll entertain a motion to pass the license transactions. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Okay, now we're done with the fun stuff.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.